folks. Welcome to Friday Night Live. I'm your host, Seth Holehouse. So lately we've been seeing some really, really wacky weather across the United States and actually in my own backyard as I struggle to keep my plants alive. Everything from strange cloud shapes to storm patterns that seem to be alive. It really makes me wonder if this could be related to the increasing food shortages and what's been happening to farmers lately. So scientists have already proven they can manipulate the weather, and news reports have been coming out that they're actively doing it. But the question is it for our own good? I don't know. Well, in today's Friday Night Live show, I'll be bringing on writer-researcher Justin Deschamps, journalist Ryan DeLarm, and content creator and absolutely hilarious comedian Simon Essler to talk all about it. So you won't want to miss the deep thoughts, belly laughs, and weird news we're going to discuss tonight. And folks, if you are watching us on Rumble, welcome. This is the first time we've actually put the Friday Night Live show on the Man in America Rumble channel. So for all of you on Man in America Rumble channel, welcome. And thanks for being here. And so we can keep bringing you free content to share with your friends and family. If you want to see tonight's full live episode, so the first half is going to be on Rumble. The second half will be on Rise TV only. And that's where we're going to do the exclusive Dig Deep Q&A and the Weirder News segment. That's over on Rise TV. So for just $9.99 a month, you can support our work. And we give you so much content in return. So from Edge of Wonder's deep dives into spirituality, space, and the human body, to my own commentary and news insights on my show, Man in America, from Justin's informative Into the Storm show to Simon Essler's dystopian Imaginarium comedy series, there's really something for everybody over at Rise TV. So we hope to see you there in our live chats with our hilarious Rise TV community, always keeping us entertained with memes, jokes, and a real family atmosphere. So let's get started with tonight's Friday Night Live, and hopefully we can weather this storm together. Also, tonight, Ben and Rob are actually on a secret space mission, so they're not going to be here, which is why I've got my fellow friends and journalists and truth seekers, Justin, Ryan, and Simon joining me. So folks, let's get going with Friday Night Live. All right. So, Lindsay, there we go. Welcome. So, I've got with me Justin and Ryan with Vigilant News. Gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for joining me tonight.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's an honor.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, for the audience that is new to your faces and your wonderful facial hair, can you give us just a brief introduction of what you guys are doing?
Sure. Well, We run Vigilant News. I also run Stillness in the Storm. Ryan actually and I started that project last year. So Ryan's writing great articles every day. Ryan, tell them a little bit about what you've been up to.
Yeah, writing articles every day, trying to figure out what's really going on in this wacky world.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a full-time job doing that. For sure. Yeah, and this it's kind of crazy because, you know, we spoke earlier today on our, you know, kind of our prep meeting for today's show. And there's all this just insanity as usual going on. But what's really stood out lately is the weather and some of these storms. So I live in Ohio. I live in kind of central Ohio, countryside area, a little more hilly. And we've just had in the past 6 weeks, we've had probably six or seven really, really intense thunderstorms. But what's crazy is that it's always the same pattern. It's really hot. And we look up in the sky and it's blanketed with chemtrails. And then the next day, it's like the whole sky is like fog. And then these massive thunderstorms, there's a tornado that hit. And I'm talking like violent winds. And I put a post out on Telegram asking folks, like, are you seeing crazy weather? Like, I probably got over 500 comments. Everyone was saying the exact same thing. They've never seen weather like this. So what's it like where you guys are at?
It's pretty hot, I will say that. I did see some chemtrails in the sky earlier today, and then suddenly, about a couple hours ago, sky went dark and stormed, but no rain, really. It was just, like, constant lightning and thunder, and then it kind of just, like, right now, it's starting to go away, but it's just, like, extremely high temperatures, like, mid to upper 90s every day, pretty much.
Yeah, we've got, I had an AC guy actually out to the house to fix the AC recently, and he was saying it was a 10-year record high in the Atlanta area, and the heat is ridiculous. Yeah, and you know, On top of that, we're also approaching like the peak of the solar maximum. So like all energy is just pumping into the Earth right now, which the weather modification can use to all sorts of different advantages. So
you know, I've heard a lot about the grand solar minimum. How does that relate to the solar maximum?
Well, the maximum is obviously the opposite of the minimum. We have a 11-year solar cycle. And when the solar cycle is at its peak, you get more solar storms. So storms, high amounts of electromagnetic energy and particles coming from the sun that hit the Earth that create geomagnetic field distortions, which can affect your dreams, your health, all sorts of things. And then you also have more solar flares and coronal mass ejections, which can affect the weather profoundly because a lot of our clouds are created through cosmic rays. And so when there's more solar activity, there's less cosmic rays. And therefore, we have all sorts of effects on the weather that happen. Way more than cow farts, by the way.
Yeah, of course. But we should be taxing cow farts anyway, you know.
Right, of course. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So did you guys see the video that was going around on Facebook of the – and I've never seen this. It was a weather map, but it was showing a storm that was kind of forming up around, like, you know, upper United States. It sweeps across Ohio, and then it goes to the East Coast, and it scoops back down around. Have you seen this before?
Oh, yeah. It's really bizarre.
Lindsay, can we pull that up? This is insane. We'll just watch this.
Wow, look at that.
That's weird.
But then, like, when have you ever seen a storm turn back inland like that?
Yeah, it's really rare. It happens in New England occasionally. They call them nor'easters, but it's not common. And, you know, what's I'm noticing is that as you watch the storm system go through, it's like almost like it gets injected with more energy because it just bursts like a, you see that, like right there? It was almost you know, the finger of God just touched the storm. It was like, all right, more intensity, something like that.
And that happened like right over my house. Like, so that was like right around where I live in Ohio is where you saw like that influx of those reds and purples. And that storm was insane because I remember that one specifically, and it knocked our power out. Thankfully, I've got a whole house generator, but knocked the power out, knocked the internet out. And it was just crazy. But also what they're doing is they're now doing these rolling blackouts. And so in the Columbus area of Ohio, there's a lot of people that like didn't have power for 2 or 3 days, but the AEP, which is the main, you know, kind of service provider here for electricity, said that it was intentional. Like they were preserving the power grid. And like my mom the other day, she was at an intersection, the lights weren't working, and some lady sped through the intersection and got into a massive car accident right in front of her because the power grid was down because the electrical company said they're preserving the power. Like this is like, I feel like, I want to see what you guys think, but I feel like in the past couple of months, there's something that they're ramping up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, trying to make it, and maybe it's going to get worse. I mean, the UN and Klaus Schwab both said recently that, you know, expect blackouts and cyber attacks. I think it's all part of making that Great Reset seem more appealing. I mean,
that's like, right.
We think it's bad now, but if things continue to go the way they are, it's probably just going to get worse and worse until we're begging for that Great Reset. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, go ahead, Justin. Sorry.
I was going to say the agenda to push this climate change to essentially sell people an idea that, you know, humans are parasites on the Earth and we're causing all these problems. It's right down to the technology. Like I went to school for physics, so I know how to look at a house, know how to look at for heat efficiency. There's no reason we should even need air conditioning units. The ground temperature is already around 50 to 60 degrees. All we need is heat exchanges that actually just go straight into the earth and come right up and just heat your house naturally. They actually already have these systems.
Yeah, geothermal systems.
Yeah, geothermal, geocooling. So there's really no need for this stuff. And the other thing too is, you know, why is it if they're going to have rolling blackouts, why would they cut the power to the streetlights? Like at least keep those things on, right?
Yeah, so crazy. Weird. Yeah, we just got delivered. I have to install it still, but I got a whole house fan, which we had a whole, my last name's Whole House, which people like laugh.
I know, I was going to make a joke, but I trust.
I know, but yeah, you know, literally like, you know, welcome to Whole House fans. Get one fan for free if you buy your second fan within the next 24 hours, you know.
Right.
But so, and that's a concept though, that actually like in the 50s, a lot of people had whole house fans. Like my mom was like, oh yeah, when we were kids, we had whole house fans, but now no one has them. But it's actually an amazing thing. It's basically this giant fan that goes up and in the top, your top floor, you know, we have a 2-story home and it just sucks air, you know, straight up into the end of the attic. And we're getting new attic fans installed too, to pull the air out of the attics. But what you can do though is you can open your basement, your kind of door to your basement, close your windows, and it pulls that cool air up from your basement up into the upper parts of the house. Like you don't even really need air conditioning, but this is 0.0001% of the technology that actually makes sense that they're trying to like get us away from. So we need their great reset garbage.
Smart toilets. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Yeah.
Sorry. I've got a frog in my throat tonight. Good thing my wife installed a mute button for me so I can press my little mute button.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I kind of need one of those.
Yeah. So, with regards to all this weather stuff, it's funny because I find that, you know, there's a lot of people I talk to and I'll say, have you seen have you noticed weird weather? And even people that are, you consider to see more red pilled, right? And they're like, yeah, it has been really weird. I'm like, have you noticed the chemtrails? I'm like, and as soon as you start talking about like weather manipulation, it's like they glaze over. Some of these folks, they glaze over. Like, do you really think the government can control the weather? You know, but actually, so Lindsay, we've got an article here how it's so hot right now in Dubai that the government is artificially creating rainstorms. I mean, do you guys see this article yet?
No. But I've seen similar stuff before. This is recently?
Yeah, this one just came out. Let me see when this article is from. And this is like, it's a CBS News article. I can't see the date on there.
Wow.
It's July 23rd, 2021.
Yeah. So this is last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. It's like, it's wow. So hot that the government is artificially creating rainstorms. So, you know, anybody that's watching, it's like, if you have a friend that thinks you're a whack job for believing that the government can control the weather, like, here you go. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we have Bill Gates talking about putting up, what is it, aluminum?
Nanoparticles.
Yeah, in the atmosphere. There's a paper produced by the military for the Air Force called Owning the Weather in 2025, I believe. You can find that PDF on archive.
And that was an older paper, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the Chinese, there are companies that you can actually go to that will advertise that they'll clear the skies for you for whatever corporate event you need. So, you know. This is confirmed for sure. We can definitely control the weather.
It could have been for a long time. I remember in the early 90s, there was this show on the Sci-Fi Channel called Sightings talking about HAARP back then.
Right.
And then, there's this guy, Dr. Peter Beter.
Oh, yeah,
interesting
yeah.
name. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about it back in, what, the 70s?
Yeah, 70. I don't know exactly when he was talking about. The audio I found was from 81, I believe. Okay. And he was talking all sorts of stuff. One of the things he was talking about was that Fort Knox had no gold in it because he apparently worked in there for a little while. So, it's really interesting. A lot of stuff that we hear is conspiracy theory. You're just crazy for even thinking about it. If you just spend 10 minutes honestly looking and you can actually find decent information, you got, you know, a lot's what you want for sure.
Or you can go out and stand in your backyard, look at the sky and see these planes. It'll be like a blue sky and these planes with these chemtrails. Then 30 minutes later, the whole sky is cloudy and you can watch them disperse. Like my wife, cause I work a lot outside, you know, we're gardening and doing small scale farming. And so it'll be a beautiful morning. It's like 9 o'clock. There's, you know, blue skies. We look up and then, you know, there's like 3 or 4 planes, the chemtrails. You can literally watch as their chemtrails spread out and they form this haze over top of the sky. And then you can't see the sun by the afternoon. Yeah. And it's really offensive. It's like it really gets under my skin. Cause it's like, how dare they, it's like I moved out in the country and I'm trying to live off the land. How dare they do this in our skies? Actually, my wife, she even called the local sheriff's office and she was like, she was so upset. She's like, what do we do? And actually the sheriff's office is like, yeah, we see it too, but it's federal airspace. So we can't do anything about it.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah.
Did she get the impression like they were hip to what chemtrails were? Or?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The woman there, she was like, yeah, she's like, we're watching it happen too. And okay. You know, like, you know, we can't, there's nothing, we have no jurisdiction over it. That's federal. It's federal airspace.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how much they have pushed onto us slowly, but surely through encroachment. you know, stuff that we wouldn't even imagine 100 years ago. We're just in it right now, like Black Mirror style.
I know.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, you mentioned HARP, and like I've studied HARP about this much. You know, I did a show on geoengineering, got into HARP, but I'm guessing that you guys are a wealth of knowledge about HARP. So I want to dig into like HARP and what HARP is for a little bit. So can you, I mean, I think there's an article Lindsay has for us, but can you just give us an overview of what it is and how they use HARP and like what it means? Like, and I'll ask you a question quickly too. Did you know that when the earthquake happened in Haiti, that Hugo Chavez came out publicly and said that the earthquake was caused by the American government using HARP?
Wow.
God, I did not hear about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So let's dive into HARP for a little bit because it's insane.
Well, I'm not an expert by any stretch, but I believe it has something to do with the ionosphere.
Yeah, I can give like a physics overview if you want, but why don't you go ahead and...
Well, no, you go ahead. I'm going to look it up, actually, okay. Just so I don't sound like an idiot.
So it uses interferometry. So interferometry is when you take one signal source, usually electromagnetic, and it works at both the longitudinal waves, so those are the waves you see float going across the water, or also pressure waves, or transverse waves, or sorry, those are the waves that go up and down. Longitudinal waves are the ones that are pressure waves. And so when you get two of them combined, just like you can have cancellation, you know, you have those Bose headphones that cancel sound. Well, that uses an algorithm to basically pull the data from the sound and flip it so that when the two waves combine, it cancels the sound. Well, you can do the opposite. You can double the sound. And the same basic concept is what interferometry is. So you take one HARP station, you take another HARP station, you have the two beams go out. Well, here, I'll do it this way so that it goes in the camera. And then the point where they intersect, you create, essentially, it's kind of like your microwave. It's just going to heat up or cool down the area that's affected. And then with that, they can adjust the ionosphere. And once that happens, I mean, if you inject certain cloud seeding chemicals in there, which is part of what the chemtrails are all about, then you can induce electric currents from the ionosphere to hit the Earth. Really great guy, Ben Davidson for Suspicious Observers.
Oh, yeah.
He did fantastic amount of research showing that there's a definitive electrical connection between earthquakes and an electrical activity in the Earth that you can actually measure. So yeah, that's kind of some basics of it that I know. And it can even affect your mind and all sorts of different things.
That was back in the 90s. They were talking about that. Who knows what they got now? You know?
So I'm looking for, I'm going to pull up a video. I'll send it to you, Lindsay. But for one quick thing is, so you mentioned the mind being affected. So there's an interview with Prince, the singer-songwriter, where he actually was in some interview and he started going off on chemtrails. And he was saying that when he was young, that he'd be in his neighborhood and he'd see these chemtrails fly overhead. But what's crazy is that he said, before you knew it, everyone was fighting. Like he noticed this distinct difference in the behavior when the chemtrails flew overhead. It would actually make everyone aggressive. And he says in like a public, I think it was like a Rolling Stone interview or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing that a few years ago. I want to even say that it was like one of his last interviews that he did too.
I've got it right here. I'll read it. It's a Daily Beast article called "When Prince Took on Reagan and Chemtrails." Funny enough. So he was talking about chemtrails, but here's what he said. So in a 2009 interview with Tavis Smiley on PBS, the legendary musician seemingly out of nowhere launched into a monologue about the nefarious phenomena of chemtrails. He said, listen to this, you know, when I was a kid, I used to see these trails in the sky all the time. A jet just went over, and then you started seeing a whole bunch of them. And the next thing you know, everybody in your neighborhood was fighting and arguing, and you didn't know why. It's like
interesting,
crazy. But I have a different video. Let me see if I can find this video to show you really quickly. Lindsay, you guys can keep going on, but let me find this video because it's going to blow your socks off. Just looking for it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was going to mention, we'll just talk about the mind effects. You know, part of the reason that happens is we're resonant with the Earth. Everybody's probably heard of the Schumann resonance. Mm-hmm. And the Schumann resonances are they measure the fact that we have these resonances, and your body and your mind is literally affected by these resonances, and it gets really crazy. Basically, if you're in a coherent magnetic field, this is something that Dr. Michael Persinger, working with Ingo Swann,
the same guys
you were worked with, and he was able to demonstrate that Ingo can actually essentially read a person's mind to a certain extent, as long as they were inside the magnetic field. And if they were out of it, then he couldn't detect what was in there all that much. So, wow. So yeah, the geomagnetic field affects you in that way. And so by influencing the information, the geomagnetic field, they can essentially project things into us at a very deep level, because we're intimately connected with the earth in ways we barely comprehend.
Is that like the voice of God thing you hear about so often?
Similar. Well, voice of God's more like there's an actual van outside your house that's like projecting okay. stuff into your house. But geomagnetic field can do more subtle effects and things like that. So, wow. Yeah.
So I think I'm almost onto this video. So what this video is let's see if I can find it. He's showing, it's the guy from geoengineeringwatch.com. Unfortunately, I can't find it. But what he's showing is he's explaining how they use these little pulsing stations that like across America to send out signals. So basically, if you imagine that they've seeded these clouds, and these clouds are full of, you know, heavy, you know, different kinds of metal elements, aluminum, I think there's barium, there's all kinds of different, you know, metals in that they're now in the cloud. So if you think about that, it's like, well, okay, this is why a lot of people are actually freaking out about the graphene oxide in our body, is because if you have this substance in the cloud or in your body, and then they can use, signals to actually change that. So in this video, which I wish I could find, it's actually Lindsay, or maybe Dom, you can find it, but I showed it in my weather weapons show. It's this insane weather map. What they did, though, is they had an overlay of the electrical pulses. And so you see this, I think it was a hurricane, and it's kind of coming up. It's coming up into America. And you see these pulses go off that start directing the path of the hurricane. Oh, and they cause it to stay still, and they cause it to go over different areas. I wish I could find it. It's in my show, but it's like an hour-long show.
Yeah. I think they can use Doppler radar, actually, to partially for that, too.
It's just insane. Yeah. Well, I guess... go ahead, Ryan.
Well, our friend Ken Rolla was actually talking about that when we interviewed him not long ago, mm-hmm. that there are ways to, I guess, break up hurricanes and such.
The Wilhelm Reich developed electromagnetic field technology that he was using. He called it the Cloud Buster. And Ken Rolla, who's an electrical engineer, if you want to look at his work, by the way, it's freshandalive.com. Amazing information on him. The guy's just like a walking library.
Yeah, and, shout out to Ken.
Yeah, he's great. And he created a device. It's called the Home Shield. We have the mini version. It's called the Rest Shield. And essentially, it creates like a coherent electromagnetic bubble that not only can protect your house from Gwen Towers and HARP and all sorts of nasty, toxic, you know, electromagnetic energy, but it can actually clear the sky above your house. At least that's what he said. And he said he set it up for Dr. Mercola, believe it or not. And it apparently cleared like a 75-mile radius of clouds in like a day or something like that.
We didn't see it.
Yeah.
That's what he says anyway.
Yeah.
So because I'm in the process of building a Kim Buster. Which is, you know, I have all the materials gathered, which you have to gather quite a lot of materials. Well, I'll let you guys know how that goes. But I found the video. I posted it for Lindsay, and Lindsay, you should play this one full screen because this is insane. You guys have to see this. It's mind blowing.
Should I start at the beginning?
Yeah, go ahead. Yep. Sure.
Hurricane Ida was not an act of nature. It was the result of covert and complex climate engineering operations. Hurricanes are being heavily seeded and thus saturated with climate engineering elements. Many of these elements are electrically conductive. Thus, exposure to powerful radio frequency microwave transmissions manipulates the seeded storms by repelling the storms and the air mass around them away from the microwave transmission sites. Land-based sites and sea-based SBX microwave platforms. This effect is clearly visible on this microwave transmission level monitoring loop that geoengineeringwatch.org captured during Hurricane Ida's path. As Hurricane Ida reached landfall, the storm was first stalled by land-based microwave transmission facilities. That slowed Ida's inland advance. The storm was then continuously steered by the extensive network of microwave transmission sites. It is the ability of the climate engineers to steer storms like Hurricane Ida that allows them to so accurately plot their exact future paths, often a week in advance. Nice. The U.S. military first initiated hurricane manipulation operations 74 years ago, Project Cirrus in 1947. Not opinion, not theory, not conjecture. It is historical fact. If the weather controllers did not want Hurricane Ida to ever even develop, it would not have. If the geoengineers did not want Ida to make landfall, it would not have. In other parts of the country, if the climate engineering cabal were not completely blocking the flow of moisture into the U.S. West, it would not be completely drying up and incinerating. All the way back in the 1960s, in Vietnam, the U.S. military used weather modification operations to flood whatever they wanted. Again, not theory, it's historical record. Are we to believe that after a half century of rapid technological increases in weather modification, that the climate engineers could not augment precipitation anywhere they want, like along the U.S. West Coast, with the whole Pacific Ocean on the doorstep? The weather makers are actually aggressively blocking precipitation from the U.S. West. This is a satellite image proven fact. Climate intervention operations are nothing short of weather warfare. They are the
isn't that insane? Like, I came across that and I was just like, my mind was blown when you see those pulses happen and it directs, because you know we've had certain hurricanes where what makes them so bad is that they sit there and they hover over the New Orleans for whatever region it is for like 2 or 3 days, and it just decimates that area.
Then, of course, you make a lot of money off construction and the aftermath.
Oh, yeah. 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 I think even Spike Lee had a movie about the aftermath of Katrina and how the Corps of Engineers, I forget the name of it, but the engineers that managed those things, the levees, didn't do any work. They knew that they were broken. They knew there was going to go down. There was all this land sales beforehand. So somebody clearly knew there was going to be a depreciation of the land so they could buy it up cheap and, you know. All sorts of stuff.
Haiti, too, right? And the Clinton Foundation.
Right, exactly. So, pretty crazy.
Oh, it is. And I guess it's like, what do you guys think is the big picture? Like, I think that right now I can see how these are tools they're using for drought and famine, and it's part of the overall food shortages. But what's your take on it?
I'm thinking food shortages. That seems to be the angle that they're really going for now. Like, so I'm sure we'll get into all those cows that just recently keeled over. Oh, yeah, everyone's talking about that. Even celebrities are talking about that.
Yeah, I think Tucker Carlson did a piece on it.
You'd hope that some sort of white hat faction is in control of these things, but I don't know. It's.
Yeah, I mean, I think the, as far as I can tell, the agenda has been to essentially convince people that they can't survive without, you know, the powers that be. And, you know, anyone who can sustain off the land. So, you know, you're a threat to the cabal because you can actually grow your own food, and they don't want that. They want to make everything extremely expensive. Like, keep in mind, when this country was founded, you didn't necessarily need a job because you could produce everything you need right there on the land if you had a good community. But now here we are, you know, 250 years later, and this is after the Industrial Revolution had right alongside it the use of world fairs. And the world fairs were essentially, in my theory anyway, the world fairs were designed to entice people away from their subsistence farms where they could, you know, have abundance and go into these mass factories where we have to work for drinking water, food, shelter. And I'm sure later we're going to have air tax or something crazy like that. But that's what my thoughts are with all that.
You know, it's an interesting point because in my show, I did a long 2-hour show earlier this week on the food shortages. And towards the end of it, you know, I talked about this exact point that, you know, we humanity right now, we are where we are and we're in the peril that we are because we have departed from the tradition that we've been given by God, right? We have been, and I think it's not really our fault in many ways because we have intentionally been led away. Actually, that was the cover of the food crisis one. So we've intentionally been led away from the way that God intended us to live. I was talking to a farmer yesterday because I did like a 5-hour round trip. I went and bought a 300 gallon diesel fuel tank.
Nice.
Because I've got a little tractor, which I use for my farming stuff. Diesel will last for like 8 or 10 years. So I'm thinking, okay, look, who knows if I can get diesel in 6 months. So I'm going to go buy, I got a 300 gallon tank I'm going to have filled up. But I was talking to this farmer and he's like, look, he said, my grandfather, lived through the Great Depression. My father, they always told us that both of them told me and my children, never go a year without planting a garden. There's all these old things that have been passed down to us that they have tried so hard to separate us from. And I think that it's crazy because, though they talk about the Great Reset, and that's a whole like massive subject of what I think is going to happen over the next couple of years. I'm sure that it may be as part of our dig deep, we can kind of get into that discussion of what's going to happen. Like, what is the Great Reset? How's it going to play out? Cause I'd love to kind of hear your guys' thoughts on that. But what I think though, is that what we're going to see happen in this process is a collapse of all of their modern systems. And while their goal is they've built these fake systems for us, right? This monocrop agriculture based upon Monsanto, fiat currency system, the fake healthcare system based upon petroleum-based medication pharmaceuticals. It's like everything they've built around us is fake, but they knew they were doing it because they knew at a certain point they would then collapse that fake system and move us into their control system. But what I believe is going to play out is that that system will collapse, but the collapse will happen. And through that process, we'll be returning back to tradition. Like, we're not going to fall into their hands. We're going to fall back into God's hands. I really believe this. And a lot of people are striving to head back towards tradition. So it's just, it's interesting. You mentioned that point because look, if you want to survive, if you want to protect your family, just go back to tradition. It's like everything about what is tradition? It's like good moral values, right? It's like the men and women, strong family relationships, strong men in the families, supportive women that are also doing their role, living off the land, all of these things. Go watch A Little House on the Prairie. If we lived like that, the cabal would have no control over us and we'd be laughing at their Great Reset.
Yep. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the destruction of our communities, our value system, our ability to have community with each other is just so pervasive. I mean, one little point to dovetail on that is look at the way people interacted in movies from the 40s and 50s. And now look at the way people interact in modern movies. There's just so much knee-jerk dismissiveness, invalidation, contempt. It's literally the fabric that allows you to have a conversation with somebody without, jarring them and making them feel invalidated has been stripped away. We don't even really know how to do that anymore. So
that's why you got a bunch of these Billie Eilish looking young women that are just so fed up with reality and detached. And I think that, they're going to try to do a Great Reset, and then it's either that or the Great Awakening, as, Clay Clark and General Flynn have been saying. And, they're all working in concert together. That is the World Economic Forum and all of these forces, and we got to do the same thing. And, we've been hanging around Clay and, the Reawaken America Tour folks. And, I'm trying to cast with ourselves with their lot and, fight for a reawakening instead of a Great Reset.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey guys, we're about to leave Facebook. Seth, could you tell us about your Deep Insight episode?
Oh yeah, actually, Lindsay, you stole the words from my mouth. I'll say that's what I was just, I saw on our document the big giant pink words, which we're 15 minutes late from that. So folks, if you are on Facebook watching, please come join us over on Rise TV, where we have just released the first actually episode of Deep Insight with Man in America. So we're gonna play that trailer for you. And then the feed to Facebook is going to get quick. So come join us over on rise.tv. So Lindsay, and cue the trailer.
How are the Ukrainian oil pipelines, Klaus Schwab's Great Reset, and the so-called New World Order agenda connected? Why did Russia invade Ukraine? Why are megacorporations even interested in Ukraine? What has George Soros been doing in Ukraine since the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991? And why did Hunter Biden get paid $50,000 a month to sit on the board of Burisma Holdings, a Ukrainian energy company? These are just some of the questions you've probably wondered about. Ukraine, gas companies, energy, power. This is just the tip of a very large iceberg. All of this and more on Rise TV's newest series, Deep Insight, with Man in America.
Such a good show. And actually, you know, to the audience, they may not know, but Justin has been very involved in the Deep Insight Man in America production. So, you know, Justin, you know, kudos to you, because that's really come out very, very well. And people love it. And we're excited for our next ones. We've actually, right now, we've got one we're filming on inflation. And then we're going to be diving into BlackRock and Vanguard. We have some great stuff over on Rise TV. So,
yeah, that's right.
So you guys have a few topics that you have brought to the table to talk about tonight, which I want to dive into these. So, so tell us about the Ministry of Truth 2.0.
Well, as everybody knows, we had, Scary Poppins. I forget her name. But, she was the first candidate for the Ministry of Truth. I forget the official title. You remember the official title of the Ministry of Truth? Let me pull up the article here.
It's Nina Jankowicz is who you're thinking
Thank
of.
You. Yes, and Nina Jankowicz.
I've heard it called the Ministry of Truth so much that I started to really believe that this is what it's called.
It's like a task force.
Misinformation Governance Board.
Yeah, here we go. It's the White House Task Force to Address Online Harassment and Abuse.
No, that's not what it's called.
Well, that's what this new one is anyway.
Oh, the
Perhaps
new one.
There's
okay,
a,
okay, yeah,
a
yeah,
previous version. Right. Yeah. So this basically, this is a Ministry of Truth. Apparently Kamala Harris is going to be involved in it in some way and take the lead on this thing.
She's a paragon of truth.
Yeah, exactly.
She is. Yeah. And everything she touches just goes so successful.
Oh man. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's actually a really old technique. This idea of political correctness is not something that emerged in the 90s. It's actually been around for a really long time. The Bolsheviks actually used it back when the Bolshevik Revolution happened, and they used anti-Semitism as one of the things, because you had the Zionist paper, Protocols of Zion. There's a lot of people who believe that that was itself produced to kind of like what's happening now, to draw people in to identify with it, so then they can weaponize against those people using political correctness.
When was that?
That was back in the 1920s, things
oh,
like
really?
That.
Yeah. I was just reading Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis recently, and he was talking about it back then,
wow.
Like how they're going, you know, this is before our idea of the nuclear family, too. And he's talking
right.
about how, you know, sex is becoming way too prevalent in our society. Mm-hmm. And that was back in the 40s. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like, I'd give anything to go back to that time. Like I was born like 150 years too late.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
But maybe I'll get the opportunity to do that in my lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Soon, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and that's, you know, and that's an interesting point about all of this, is that, you know, there's so much doom and gloom, and there really is, actually. It's like, okay, well, the reality is that the elites are trying to basically kill us all. You know what I mean? It's like, well, okay, once you get past that, then you can realize, okay, so what's really going on here? And it's so easy to get sucked into that, just that kind of like the black pill process. But, and I've been down those rabbit holes. You know, I've been down the area of like, what's going to happen? And I'm going to be, you know, sitting in my basement with my gun, just waiting for the, you know, FEMA troops to show up, or, you know what I mean? But it's crazy, because, you know, the more that I've kind of continued on this path, the more that I realize is that, you know what? Like, in a lot of ways, I think that what we're going to be going through when we in the future, we'll look back and we'll say, you know what, that was like one of the greatest blessings, because I think that there's a lot of people that no longer appreciate what we have. They know that, you know, like looking at America, for instance, like God has been stripped from our country. There's yeah. been, you know, we've got, you know, Christina Aguilera
yeah.
dancing on stages with a giant strap on.
Oh
right,
God,
it's just,
really?
Just, wow. just, oh yeah, disgusting
just,
stuff happening.
Simon's video on that earlier.
Oh really?
Oh, it's terrible. Don't go Google it. Like it's yeah. disgusting. And kids are at the show. Is that some sort of gay pride thing
yeah,
in California?
Yeah.
But it's like what we're returning to is that it's like, I think that this process that will be tough is like we're going back to something that I think deep inside of all of us we really want again. Like, I remember, you know, when I was during Hurricane Sandy, I was living in New York City, and I was living on the 15th floor of an apartment building. We lost power for over a week. So to get up to the apartment, I had to walk up the like the service stairs in pitch black. I'd use my iPhone light to walk up 15 flights to get home, and, you know, up and down. But like, I remember we had, you know, I had friends over, and we had candles on, we were playing guitar, and there's something really amazing about like everything being shut down. And I feel like that, again, though there's some tough times ahead, that what we're going to be getting back to is something that we're really yearning for. And yeah, it's so, yeah. What do you guys think?
I hope we have rolling blackouts. We've got, in our house, we've got like thousands of books that, you know, are never going to be read unless we go back to the Stone Age. So.
I couldn't agree. Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I think you're really spot on, Seth. I like to do a lot of philosophizing and trying to figure out like, what is the game that God's kind of set up for us here?
Yeah.
And I actually talk about it quite a bit in Into the Storm. So, you know, I think the game is rigged for spiritual growth. Like, there's kind of one game in town, and it's like self-mastery, spiritual growth, learning how to love each other, these kind of things. And when we do that, then life just gets amazingly awesome. I mean, and there's these cycles throughout history where there's hard times. We kind of like have to pick up our bootstraps, come together, deal with the challenge. We learn and grow in that process, but we haven't really as a civilization figured out a way to consistently pass that information down to our, you know, our children. Because we forget it, you know, two or three generations down the line, and, you know, we just kind of take things for granted. But I really do think that as bad as things might seem, there is a positive spin on it. There's always an opportunity to use the tools that you were given, your mind, your consciousness, your ability to investigate and seek truth. And with that, build pillars of knowledge that will give you the wisdom you need to deal with any situation that you can imagine. So yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, and even like, you know, like what you mentioned, that journey and the amazing things that you find as you learn to really sharpen your mind and kind of build your intuition again. And I have to say that, you know, gardening, for instance, like we had little gardens growing up in the backyard, but I spent 15 years living in New York City. And so, you know, the first real kind of a garden I had as an adult was 2 years ago, but now, you know, we've got just a massive garden going, and I tell you what, like the most beautiful experiences I've had are like, you go out there and you know, we've got raspberry bushes as an example.
Nice.
You go out there and you find that one ripe raspberry. So it's your first ripe raspberry of the season, and you eat it. And it's like, it tastes better than any other raspberry you buy at the store, or that one strawberry or that blueberry, or, you know, like watching my daughter who's 2 years old, who loves berries, just walk around and pick these berries and eat them. And she's got like berries all over her face, all over her shirt. It's like, this is beautiful. This is, it's so beautiful. And like, that's what they've tried to take away from us. But what I've learned is actually it's the things that really matter. They can't really take away from us. Like, you might think that it's these modern conveniences that they can take away from us. But actually when you go back to it, like I would almost guarantee you that the average American was way happier during the Great Depression than they are right now in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. There's something like you were saying about looking at like when you finish a shift at like your wage slave job, there's not a whole lot of fulfillment there. Mm-hmm. But when you look back on a plant that you've been taking care of and is producing stuff, like there's a weird satisfaction that in my adult life, I didn't even know of.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we just started growing food here. Mm-hmm. Not that much. Like if you know, it really hit the fan, I don't think we would be able to survive, but it's enough to, you know, to help a little bit.
Right.
I'd be interested to hear more about your garden. You got a tractor.
Yeah. It sounds like you have some awesome stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, my wife and I, we bought this house less than a year ago. It's on about 5 acres. And, you know, we intentionally, like we moved way out into the country. Though, you know, like I said, 3 years ago, I was literally in a 600 square foot apartment, like in a high rise in New York City. So wow. It couldn't be any more different. But it's closer to how I grew up. Like I grew up in a city called Plain City. Like it was literally a city of plains, like, and it was just farm fields everywhere. And so, yeah, it's been incredible. But like what we're realizing through this this process is that, like, you know, you plant these seeds, you germinate them, and you plant them, and like the earth and God through nature and everything around us, it's so abundant. Like, it's incredible how abundant nature is. And sometimes we'll have like a plant that we think is not going to make it, whatever, and we kind of set it aside. We look at it like 4 weeks later, and it's thriving. Like, there's such a desire to produce. And it's just so, and what we've realized is it's like, wow, actually, the only thing that really limits us is that we need more people. And so I'm like trying to convince friends and family, like, come live near us. You know, we got 5 acres. You can put a little tiny house on our property and help us, you know, help us farm. And like, that's where we're at. It's kind of amazing because in this process, like, we want to build this community of people that all just want to work together. And I, like, it's funny because I've tried so many times to convince like 10 different people, like, please, like, put a tiny house on our property. I've got sewage hookup. This, you can help us. We're going to get sheep. We've got like 35 or 40 chickens now. We need help with the chickens. Like, we're going to do rabbit, you know, and it's just like, but it's this exciting process actually, because you realize that God has just given us so much. It's amazing.
It's crazy you say that, because we've been talking about the same thing. We've even been joking about going and joining the Amish.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I mean that seriously too, because just visiting the Amish, not necessarily joining them, but you know, we've forgotten how to be in community. We've forgotten how to be humble and have forbearance and things like this, and work with each other, you know. And that's one of the things that deprivation and adversity does, is, you know, it's really easy when everything's cushy to not work it out with your neighbor. But when there's no electricity, no food, you haven't eaten for a week, you're like, man, I better go over there and figure out how we're going to like make this work, at least try. So, you know, I would say that one of the things that we've discounted is that community. There's so many benefits to community. And I don't, you know, just to rattle off a few, when you grow your own food, the lactobacillus that coats the food, the bacteria, develops natural immunities to the things in the environment. And then when you eat that, you literally absorb those immunities. So it's like a natural vaccine.
Incredible.
Another component of community, when you're around people that you know and love and actually have developed a real relationship with, where you can actually be honest and they can be honest with you, it naturally calms the mind. It acts as a kind of like antidepressant naturally, without all the crazy side effects. And you just naturally feel a sense of togetherness. You get reduced stress. Your IQ goes up. You sleep better. All sorts of amazing things. And then you can depend on that community when things get crazy, like if there's a you know, something goes wrong. So, you know, we've been having this dream. I've had it for years. I've tried to start several communities. It's tough because people are addicted to the things that the cabal sells. And if I went to somebody and be like, hey, you know, you should move out of your house, come move with me across the country into this plot of land in the middle of nowhere, where you're going to have to drive a half hour to go get your Chipotle or whatever it is, they look at you like you're crazy. But, you know, though the things that we're missing, that we don't even know we're missing, that hole in our being that we're like, why is life so, you know, boring and uninteresting and stuff like that, is filled by community, fellowship, and being your brother's keeper. So
it's such a good point, you know, and it reminds me, there was, I think it was one of the longest human studies in history, where they tracked and I forget the name of the study, but they tracked these people and they monitored their lives, like from birth until death. And they looked at, you know, measuring status, success, education, family, everything, but they were looking at what brought happiness. Like, that was one of the core goals of this study. And so they looked at people, you know, that were 80 years old, and they said, okay, which ones are the happiest? And it was actually crazy, because by far the single most important thing that made a person happy was relationships. Like, by far, it wasn't, you know, it didn't matter how wealthy they became. It didn't matter. There you go. Nothing else really mattered. Actually, the single most important thing was what their relationships were, the quality of their relationships. And that's actually, you know, Justin, we were talking on the phone recently about the intentional destruction of that community, those relationships. And I feel like that's what's going to return, because it's interesting, because on my own journey of prepping, you know, it's gone through this process of, okay, first you're going to hoard stuff. Okay, I've got this many rounds of ammo and my, you know, AR and all this kind of stuff. And you're there, I got canned food and then you're like, okay, well, who's, you know, this person, they're not preparing, so they might be my enemy. And, but the more, it's interesting because the more I've kind of evolved an understanding sustainability and preparedness and everything, the more I've realized that, and this is like, here's your prep tip of the week, right? The most important thing to do with prepping is to prep your community, is to build relationships. And it's funny because, you know, my wife probably and I both in the past year, we've been like probably actually almost 2 years, really, really, really focused on prepping. And we've seen what's been coming. Yeah. And, but, you know, even to a point where like when we first moved into our house about a year ago, we were very focused on just like ourselves and our food supply and all this stuff. But what we're realizing now is that like we're saying, you know what, we should have some extra food for our neighbors. We should have, you know, extra seeds right. So we can give these to our neighbors. And we've been thinking like, let's start talking to our neighbors. And so we've actually been meeting all of our neighbors, and it's this amazing process of going out, and it's like, wow, this guy's amazing. And we met this one guy who lives, you know, like within probably walking distance of us. He was just this older guy. He's retired. He's single. Maybe his wife, I'm not sure if he has a wife that had passed or whatever, but this guy, he's like so self-sustaining. And he's like, oh yeah, he grows like 2 acres of corn for fun. And he's like, I can't give it away. And we're like, oh my gosh, this guy's out here growing like 2 acres of corn. He also like loves processing animals. And then, gosh, like I personally don't want to have to kill animals unless I really, really have to.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like, okay, you know what? If we're raising rabbits, I'll take 10 rabbits over to this guy. Say, hey, you keep 2 for yourself. You process all of them. Give us 8. Like these are the, you know, this is the community that you build. And that community is actually the strongest thing that you can have to survive anything. And that's actually, you know, the more you dig into like the, you know, kind of philosophy of prepping, that's where you end up, is that if you're just 2 people, you will not survive extreme disaster. You have to have community.
Yep. Yeah. I think you're spot on. I mean, even the cabal has community. I mean, they work together.
True.
To do everything they're doing. So,
yeah. Say, save us a spot on your
yeah, exactly. I'm gonna have to come and check out your spot there.
No, you guys should come visit some at some point. And we're quite close to the Amish. So we're about maybe half an hour or so away from the Amish. So sometimes we'll go into Amish country. Like we're actually, I think within the next couple of days, we're going to have a big trip. I'm going to go buy a couple thousand pounds of chicken feed or not like the actual feed itself, but like the raw materials. I got these 50-gallon drums, these sealable 50-gallon drums, so we can store like cracked corn and you know, wheat and different, you know, things for the chickens. So, but you go up to Amish country to get all that stuff. And it's just, it's amazing actually. And one of my good friends, actually, he's the video editor that worked on the he did the trailer for the Deep Insight. Just so happens that he's moving like 25 minutes away from us, and he's moving into an Amish community. He bought like an Amish built home,
they're all
Amish there. And he's like, he's really into canning, and
so he
actually comes to my house and we do the filming together here. And he's like, oh man, come on over. My wife is like the queen of canning. We'll do some canning together. And it's like, this is amazing. This is exactly what I want. And it's so good, because when you start getting back to these relationships, it's like there's something inside of you that it just lights up. It's so wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like heaven.
It does. Seriously. I mean, I honestly think, like, you know, the writing's been on the wall for some time now, you know, that something big is going to happen. The forces of darkness are going to make things really hard for people if we continue to live on their systems. You know, I kind of feel like part of the suggestion we're getting is, hey guys, it's time to put down the TikTok and start picking up a book about how to like learn how to have community, make those human connections, things like that. So,
just like how I think, you know, the future of education is homeschooling networks or pods.
Yeah, absolutely.
The future community is going to be, you know, neighbors and people coming together like that. So
absolutely,
maybe that's where this is all leading us, you know,
yeah,
to actually take it back on our own.
Mm-hmm. And one last point I'll mention about Ellis is, this is one of the reasons I'm so passionate about law, because the only way to make a community work is if you have law. And I don't mean law like, you know, a bunch of dry legal codes about how we need to, you know, stop spending money on gas. You know, that's not what I mean about law. I mean, like the recipe that God gave us to have community. How do we actually live with other people without wanting to kill each other and respect each other's rights? It's because of this thing that we call the law.
Natural law?
Yeah, natural law. Well, there's divine law. There's natural law. So
law of the land.
Law of the land. Positive law is the law that humans make to manage reality and like the things that they're actually trying to deal with. So there's a whole piece of knowledge that we've had throughout history that gets, you know, it resurges. You have these amazing places like the Carolingian Empire in the 800s, all sorts of different times throughout history, the Celt Empire back in like 600 BC. And then we forget about it, but it's the thing that always is there keeping these things together is the recipe of how to actually have community and make it work. And that's the law right there. So,
oh, absolutely. So speaking of community, we are now going to be going over to the Rise TV community only, where we're also going to be joined by Simon Essler. And it's going to be a blast. So a few quick notes. So people, we're going to be entering into our dig deep session. So dig deep is the portion. It's a Q&A, but it's like, ask us the deep questions that we really get into, which I'm looking forward to this. And the first question I actually want to kind of jump into is what is going to happen next, right? Because I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. I want to hear Simon's thoughts as he comes down from Canada to see what he thinks. So on Rise TV, make sure you give us your dig deep questions. Just write dig deep in the your comment there, and we'll get those posted. So, but we're going to play one trailer, and then once the trailer's up, then we'll be over on Rise TV only. So for those of you that are still on Rumble, come join us on Rise TV. We're going to have a lot of fun over there. And we're going to play the trailer for Finding Courage, which I think is actually a very appropriate trailer for an amazing documentary on Rise TV for right now in where we are in history. So Lindsay, you can go ahead and play that trailer for us.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Wow, look what we got here. Mr. Simon Essler coming us straight from China. How's it going, Simon?